Matt Long has joined us on Sports Byline. We're talking about his book, The Long Run, A New York City Firefighter's Triumphant Comeback from Crash Victim to Elite Athlete. Matt, what was the first step, the first positive step that you had in this comeback?
Well, the first positive step I had, I guess it came when, after we spoke about what my mom did for me, I met with my doctors, and we went on with a different approach for my surgeries, and things started to work. They were able to put me back together, my intestines, and, they closed my stomach. They gave me a green light to start training again. And when I felt, I took the approach that I took to running and basketball my whole life, when a doctor told me, you have the green light to give it your best shot and get as strong as you can, I took that on as a challenge. So that's when I went to Arizona. And when I got out of New York and I got away from the people that knew, the firemen that were run over by the bus, and head out to Arizona, I was able to get away from being that, that guy in the city to someone who's looking to improve themselves and work in this clinic in Tempe. It's called the Functional Performance Center. And I really kept my attitude straight and worked hard. And before I left there, I was running my first mile.
Which was harder to heal, Matt, in the early stages of your comeback? Was it the mind or was it the body?
The mind. The mind is probably the most difficult thing to heal. The battles are never ending. Broken bones heal. They just take time. You can get muscle back after it atrophies. It just takes time. But, dealing with all the things I had to deal with all at once, whether it was having a diverted digestive tract or learning to walk again and all that stuff, the mind, it could have been very easy for me to sit back and give up. But you fight with yourself every day about that.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about the adjustments that you had to make in order to do the simple things in life and then to even get into a competitive frame of mind. What adjustments did you have to make physically to be able to do that, because your body had been wrecked and had been kind of put back together?
Well, I mean, physical adjustments I have, I have one leg shorter than the other now, so I have to wear special shoes or have a lift put on all my shoes. But when it came down to training, I really had to forget about who I used to be and the athlete that I used to be and what I was able to accomplish. And I had to say, okay, here's my new body. How do we make this body an athlete again? And I really had to take it really slow. I mean, I kept a journal for everything I did. And I remember going back in my journal where I was bench pressing 10 pounds. It's just hard to fathom progress when you start so low. But like I said, that attitude I have as a firefighter and an athlete my whole life, I stayed with it. And when you look back in your journal, you see how far you've come.
Yeah, I'm smiling here, Matt, because you said about being patient. I can't imagine you being very patient with yourself, mainly because most athletes are not patient with themselves, and also you come from an Irish family and you're from New York. Patience is not a part of that makeup.
No, it's not. And if I said I was patient, my mother would call you right back up and say, he's not, he's lying to you. I'm not a patient guy. I was always one of those guys who, the way I like to describe myself is when you go to the beach in May, and the first hot day in May, if you walk to the water and put your toe in it, you know you're not going to go until August because it's cold. So I would just drop my towel and run in, figure it out after I get wet.
The other thing I was wondering about, do you remember the particular moment, Matt, when you really believed that you could run in a race again?
Again, those mental battles come in, because after I ran my first mile in Arizona is when I changed my goal from just running 6 miles in Central Park to wanting to attempt a marathon. But then throughout my training to that, I only got to 14 miles. And any, good marathoner knows you got to get a couple 20 miles in there before you get to the 26.2. So I was always having the battle of whether I was ready to complete this goal. But at one point, my brother asked me if I was ready for this, and I gave him a little bit of an attitude, and I just said to him, I'm prepared to take on anything that will happen if I don't complete the 26.2 miles. I said, I'm just going to look at it as, if I get to 18, then it's 18 miles of success, because it's 18 miles more than I've run in the last 2.5 years, 3 years.
One of the things, Matt, in talking to the many athletes, the outstanding athletes that I have over the years, I found that the greatest motivating factor, and I think this applies to you, and I'd like to get your perspective on whether this was a factor with you, is the fear of failure. I think you know if you're a top-flight basketball player, baseball player, football player, you don't want to fail. It motivates you not to fail. Was there any thought process there? Were you fearful of maybe failing and not being able to reach your top goal?
Yeah, after I completed the marathon, I set the goal for the Ironman. That's the first time I started to say to myself, you know, put myself out here. Mary Cooler did a story on HBO, and I was putting myself out there for everyone to see this guy, you know, make a comeback. And I started to think, well, what if I don't? And again, I went back to it a day. I talked to my brother Jimmy, and I said, well, I'm just going to have to explain to people that I put myself out there, and I tried. And if I covered 140.6 miles in 17 hours, great success. If I don't, whatever that is my level of success for that day. So I tried not to use the word failure anymore. And I tried to let people know that, hey, I did my best. I didn't let my training let me down. I got to the starting line and I was prepared. And I was prepared to say, well, if I got 130 miles in and they pulled the clock, and that was my success story for the day.
The other thing I thought about was the fact that it's one thing for you to do it, but there are always people around you that when you've gone through something like this, they want to be protective of Matt Long. They don't want to see him get hurt again. Did you have to kind of shuttle them away and make sure that they didn't get around you or even have those type of thought processes?
Well, that did happen. My brother and my mom and dad, you know, they were kind of telling me, hey, pal, slow down. You've come a long way. Do you really need to do this now? You have time. And I didn't show them away, but I just let them understand that this was how important this was for me. And they knew eventually that if I completed these two goals, marathon and Ironman, that my head would start coming around and I'd be back to being the Matt Long I was. So I'm not fast anymore. I'm as strong as I ever was, but my personality is back.
When you ran the marathon, take me through that race a little bit, what it was like and what your thought processes were as you got into it and through it.
The first 3 miles, my friends and I, Noel Flynn and Frank Carino, both sub-3-hour marathoners, they agreed to stay with me. So they kept me company the first 3 miles. I was kind of just setting in, you know, my body was warming up. But not until we hit maybe 15 or 16 on First Avenue did it set in that, you know, hey, I still got 10 more miles to go, and I'm in this, this for 4 hours. This is going to be a long day. And I kind of told them, hey, guys, you can talk to me all you want. I want to hear what you're saying, but don't wait for my response because I'm starting to hurt, and I want to focus on moving forward and staying as calm as possible.
It's one thing to do a marathon. It's another thing to do an Ironman. I think you know that. Were you biting off more than you could chew?
Yeah, I probably was, you know, but I took a really strategic approach to it, and I, you know, actually, you mentioned Mary Carrillo, her cousin was my triathlon coach, so I sat down with him, and we worked out a plan. We knew that running would probably slow me down on my training days, because if I went out and ran 4 or 5 miles, I couldn't do anything the next day. I needed the whole day to recover, but I can go out and cycle and swim every day, no impact. And do that 5-6 days a week. So I really had a good system and a good plan, and we cycled as much as we could. I was hoping to be a lot faster on a bike. That's where I thought I would have made up a lot of time, but that didn't happen up in the mountains and the Adirondacks, you know.
We only have 90 seconds left, but what lies ahead for Matt Long? What do you want to do now?
Well, I started a foundation, the I Will Foundation, and I want to help other people that are in the situation I was in get back into sport and live their life as full as possible. And athletically, for me, I want to compete in the 2011 World Police Fire Games, which is coming to New York City in August of 2011.
In all the things that you have been able to do, Matt, what are you most proud of in your comeback?
You know, I'm super proud that I became a marathoner again and an Ironman especially. But what I'm really most proud of is what I've been able to accomplish without knowing it. I didn't realize by me going out there and punishing myself in these events that I would touch so many other people.
Yeah,
and,
did you?
I get emails and letters every day, and I'm really proud that I'm helping people, and my action seems to have some kind of purpose now.
Did you learn something about yourself that you never thought you would have learned?
I pretty much feel like I've been to my own funeral. So many people came and were by my bedside that I have a tremendous support group, and you know, I knew I had some family and friends that loved me, but I didn't know how deep it went, and it goes pretty deep. So I think I've lived a very full and happy life, and it was evident by the show I got at the hospital.
Matt, I want to thank you for sharing your story. And again, the name of the book is called The Long Run, A New York City Firefighter's Triumphant Comeback from Crash Victim to Elite Athlete. Come back and join us again.
You got it, Ron. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It says at the end of the book, at 11:58 on July 26, 2009, after 16 hours, 58 minutes, and 3 seconds, Mike Riley announced to those there, including a tired but delirious happy firefighter from New York City, Matt Long, you are an Iron Man. It is just a simply great story, and I hope you'll check it out. You can pick up the book. It's called The Long Run. We continue with you and more of America's sports talk show, Sports Byline.